Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast, the preview show. If you were listening to us a week ago, we were all positive. We're all singing the praises of Phil Parkinson, but now the wheels are starting to fall off the Parky bus. But will we reattach said wheels on Saturday against Gillingham? I'm Rory Fallow. I'm joined, as ever, by Matthew Keelan.
Good evening, Rory.
How are you doing, Matthew, after a defeat and a disappointing draw?
I am. I'm sad about it. I'm sad for Phil. I'm sad for all of the lads.
Sad for Conor Mack.
Sad for Conor. Well, we'll get on to him later, I'm sure. Sad. Made up for by my half day at work tomorrow.
Oh, well, that balances everything out. A half day Friday.
12 o'clock. 12 o'clock.
Well, speaking of pints as well, we're also joined by Mr. Sunderland himself, Michael Loff.
Hi, lads. How are you doing?
Very well. I'm used to having you on the Thursday show, Mickey. You're usually with the dads. How does it feel to be off the leash of Gareth and Stephen for a change?
I'm a little bit nervous because when it comes to me to be the voice of reason, I think we're struggling a little bit, but I will try my hardest nonetheless.
It's all right, Mick. Yeah. We had Chris Weatherspoon as the voice of reason the other week.
Oh, fair enough.
We also had Craig. We had Craig on that night as well, so that kind of balanced him out as well. So, yeah, Mick, you're very much going to have to be the voice of reason here. I was going to say no outlandish predictions for you, but, feel free. Get into the vibe of the preview pod. What we're all about, aren't we, Matthew?
Ah, of course. You've got to wear. It's a bit like a trial, this, Mick, for your for your appearance on the preview pod. Me and Rory will get together. Well, we won't because we're not allowed. We'll virtually get together and discuss your performance and make a few notes, give you a rating. We'll give you a rating halfway through, and then we'll come to you.
Excellent. Does that mean we can't, when we obviously put the tweet out, etc., in the description on the pod, we can't use Mick's name? He has to be a trialist.
A trialist.
But we can refer to him. Actually, no, would a commentator refer to trialist by name? Come on, Mick, you're the journalist.
I know. I try not to broadcast the fact I'm shirted too widely because you tend to get more abuse then. But no, yeah, the commentators do tend to say, I think when we play Gearset in the pre-season, they would say A trialist followed by his name, which was a bit bizarre, but it's a little bit as if it's like the official secret act for some reason when someone's on trial, which I don't quite understand, but there we are.
Are all trialists called Anthony?
Anthony or Antoine, Alan. Maybe as well, if it's a foreign trialist.
When I was a kid, I used to think there was a really prolific striker in the Scottish lower leagues. He used to hop around between a lot of clubs called Andy Trialist or something.
Andy Trialist.
Because Trialist can play league games in the Scottish lower league, so I always used to get really confused when I'd say A Trialist score for Dumbarton one week and then Rafe Rovers the next week.
Being really charitable, loaning them out.
No, great. We should do that. We should be able to play trialists. We used to be able to in the League Cup, didn't you? When we signed that Just a Man for the Walsall game years ago. Yeah, we had the Giuseppe, was it? Mick, you'll know. He had a 25-yarder over the bar.
I was going to say, you almost scored a screamer, yeah.
I think I can remember that.
And then
that
signed for Walsall.
From an end-of-season review video. Yeah. That kind of rings a bell.
He then went on to sign for Walsall based on that shot.
Very much Worthington Cup sort of era, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think it was we beat them 5-0. Sorry, Betty.
I don't care about the Worthington Cup. I just care about the Papa John's Trophy now, as it's been renamed.
On a piece of that. So,
with that segue of League One, very, very league, that slice of League One, you could say.
Very good.
It's got another slice of League One. A 2-2 draw away to Rochdale.
Yes.
And a very bad performance. It doesn't get much more League One than that. I think first thing we've got, let's get the negatives out of the way, because there's a lot of them. Let's get them out of the way first. Might take a while. The goals we conceded. What's, like, this time last week, Matthew, we were talking about how excellent our defence looked, how robust we looked, and, you know, conceded three against Portsmouth. Fair enough, they're quite a decent side. One's like a daft penalty, etc. But, you know, they had to, I was going to say that'll work, but we did give the ball away for one goal, but the sloppy defending for, you know, not tracking a runner into the box, either Dobson or Power losing their man there, the way, like, Dobson and Sanderson clattered into each other for the second, like, gone from so robust to conceding goals like that. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's turned into, like, we've just lost control of it. One thing we weren't doing earlier in the season, well, say earlier in this, obviously we haven't played thousands of games, but like right at the beginning of the season, there was no like desperate defending. We weren't even making any tackles. Like, yeah, they didn't even need to make tackles. And now it's like we've got Jack Baldwin back. It's like there's lots of last ditch defending going on. Lots of like blocked shots, lots of like desperate lunges. And on Tuesday, like the goal, just basics. Total basics, not tracking your man, not closing down, letting the cross come in. Like, positioning, like, you can't have a go at the goalkeeper, really, but, like, positionally, the goalkeeper, like, for the header, like, just stood in the middle of his goal. Love blaming goalkeepers, like.
But,
just stood in the middle of his goal, like, obviously, but he's completely wrong-footed by a, let's be fair, a fairly tame header.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just, it's
not, like, he's not, like, the, like, he's not the, look, he's not to blame for that goal, but like, you got, he hasn't had many shots on target this season, Burge, and he's conceded six goals now.
Yeah, yeah, but I know what you mean about the, you know, the nature of the header and stuff like that, but Mick, it's kind of, you said, you touched on it there, Matthew, about we weren't having to make tackles, block shots, people weren't getting shots in, but you look at the way that midfield two performed on Tuesday, and they were non-existent, weren't they? Like, it was so easy for Rochdale to, like, fair enough, that I'm not saying they created a deluge of chances, but it's the most we felt under pressure, didn't we? Because we didn't have that little bit of extra protection in front of the back three.
Yeah, I think after the Swindon game on the Dad podcast, I kind of praised how good we were out of possession a lot of the time. And particularly in the Swindon game and the Crewe game were very good. And like you said, there was no pressure onto the back four because it was all being soaked up by the midfield. But the other night, they were allowed to get onto the back four and maybe some of our frailties were exposed. But one thing I would say, there's a lot that I wasn't very happy with from Phil Parkinson the other night, but the goals I don't think are on him, because you've just got to take a little bit of collective responsibility there. And you don't have to play well every game to get promoted, especially in this league. I mean, we've seen it in the past under like Mick McCarthy, where we didn't play inspiring football, but we got promoted. And I think on Tuesday, it's one of them games, you've just got to win. And the fact that we got our noses in front twice, and we should have then got on to control of the game, and we didn't, was very, very disappointing. And the defending for the goals, like you say, was just incredibly poor. And it's something that we need to rectify immediately, because we can't afford to go on a bad run.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, we'll get onto the team selection stuff like that, and things, part and substitutions as well, where Parkinson could have done more to affect things, obviously before the game, but during the game as well. But like you said there, Mickey, like, you know, we were just being functional, like under Mick McCarthy, or like even if you look back further, 95-96 under Peter Reid, where we weren't spectacular but went up. But you do the basics well, you don't give the opposition those opportunities. And I feel a bit harsh singling him out, but George Dobson on Tuesday night, I'm sorry, it can't be ignored just how bad that performance was. I think five, maybe six times he just cheaply gave away a possession trying to make a simple pass. If you're doing that and you're looking at that as a manager, and yeah, fair enough, he picked him, and I don't think he should have actually picked him, to be honest. But if you can't even do just simple stuff like that, like, I'm sorry, it's not acceptable at all, is it?
Okay,
so I think the complaint I have about Dobson is, even when he plays good games and he's energetic and he's all over the pitch, he makes a lot of his good contributions are because he's given the ball away. He's had to rectify the mistake and win it back. So like you have commented there, I don't rate Dobson at all. And the other night, I think a very bizarre comment that Parkinson did make was when he praised our passing and said we were very brave on the ball. And that's just not something I agree with at all, because even when we did try and be more ambitious, it were just these raking kind of passes from the fullback to the other fullback, or Bailey Wright tried about like 15 of them and about six came off. And it was just quite poor. And I can see the rationale of trying to play them balls if you're playing Gooch or Diamond as a wing back, because the theory being vague on the front foot, they can cut inside and they're in on goal or they can whip the ball in. But when you're playing them balls to Conor McLaughlin, who isn't the most like dynamic wing back you'll ever see, and I know I'll probably get marked down for making that point on this particular podcast. But when you're playing the ball at somebody like that, who's not the most attacking, even if you execute the pass, his instinct is to control the ball, look back and play a safe 5-yard ball. So I didn't really see the rationale, if you know what I'm saying, between trying to play us in, if that makes sense.
No, it does. What were you going to say there, sorry, Matt, on Dobson as well?
He's just simply, he's not good enough. And he's shown this, in my opinion. I know he's got fans and I know people have stuck up for him in the past, but he's nowhere near good enough. He offers nothing. He's not a threat. He's not particularly good on the ball. He's not particularly good in the tackle. He's not that fast. He's not particularly fit. His engine, I don't think, is great. And it has, I know there's games where he has looked, I don't know, like sprightly, he's nowhere near good enough to get a team promoted out of this division. He captained Walsall to relegation in this division, and we went and paid money for him. He's rubbish, and I don't mean to just single him out and be nasty to him, but he's crap.
Yeah, and it is true, and there are other players that will get on.
And look,
well.
Like,
we're not just going to single
him
out.
No, I'm not. Like, Max Power,
it wasn't good enough.
Max Power has been poor in the last couple of games, and that he didn't do. Obviously, Dobson playing alongside him wouldn't help Dobson at all. But he's just, at least with Power, he's got, you know, he's done it. He's had, you know, a large amount of good games for us. He's won League One twice. Dobson, I'm sorry, he's nowhere near good enough to play for this football club.
And Power was inches away from winning us
the
game.
That's the thing, that's the difference. Dobson, for as bad as Power could be and was, he is capable of doing that. Dobson is never, ever going to do that.
No, absolutely not.
So sorry, and I don't mean to just be awful and just slag him off for the sake of it, but this isn't for the sake of it. He's not good enough to play for this football club.
No, it's true. We've, you know, he had a little run of games when, you know, under Parkinson as well, and understand why Parkinson maybe wanted to give him another chance this season. But like you said, Mickey, when he does something good, it's almost compensating for other things. And he's came back into that side as well after a stupid red card earlier in the season. Let's not forget, I know it didn't really affect the game against Bristol Rovers when he did get sent off because it was so late in the game. But that's twice now where you've just seen two displays. And he wasn't particularly good in that Bristol Rovers game as well. It's like, I don't want to go too yada about this, but there are younger players who he's, you know, either keeping out of the squad, be it when he's on the bench or, you know, in the starting 11. I probably would rather see, you know, Jack Diamond doesn't play in that position exactly, and, you know, neither does Dan Neal particularly, but I'd rather see them given a go, because when I see Dobson now, I genuinely think, and again, I do feel harsh saying it, but I don't think they would be any worse, and I think they would grasp that opportunity better than he is, and they would give us something a bit more different.
Definitely. I think you mentioned Jack Baldwin earlier there, Matthew. I think Dobson almost is a centre midfield version of Jack Baldwin, because everything he does is on the stretch. When he wins a tackle, sometimes it looks really good, but he's thrown himself into the tackles, and as you've seen, it's desperation, and we're torn for his previous errors, so he's not ideal to kind of just like calm the midfield down. And I think he made me appreciate even more, despite the fact Ledbetter, I know he gave the ball away for the goal at the weekend, and because of his age, you can't play him every game, but it made you appreciate that calm calmness on the ball that Ledbetter brings
you.
Massively. And even Josh Schoen to a large extent, because like Schoen, to be fair to him, I don't think it was the right sub when he came on for Maguire, but he did look very neat and tidy. Just like receives the ball, gives it. He's like quite a good distributor. So as I say, I just think that with Power and Dobson, because like Power again, he tries quite adventurous balls. He's not one to just keep the game ticking over. So I think we just really kind of surrendered control of the game to Rochdale by having that midfield pairing. I don't think it was particularly well thought out.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't well thought out at all. Far from it. It's interesting what you said about Scowen there, though, Mick. I agree. Maybe him for Maguire wasn't the right sub, and you maybe might have wanted to see Dobson come off, or maybe even one of the back three, just to give us a midfield three option as well. But I think it says a lot about our performance on the night that I'd say Scowen was one of our best players.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought the energy that he gave us, he made things happen. Like, I think he's definitely, after a poor showing against Portsmouth, he's warranted a start again, even if he goes to the midfield too, because I would have him in the side ahead of Dobson like any day of the week. But to move on from Dobson, I think we've crucified him enough there.
We'll come back to him later.
Yeah, we probably will, or maybe on another podcast. Conor McLaughlin as well at right wing back. I think that was confirmation that if he's in the side, and I think a few people said this in the group chat as well, actually, if he's in the side, it has to be part of a back three, because that boy does not look comfortable once he's beyond the halfway line, does he?
Look at us. Who'd have thought it?
How do we get here?
Not me.
Not now, Rory.
No, he doesn't, does he? That's not, you know. Yeah. Centre half for him, and what a centre half he is,
and what a centre half. But that's the thing, like, you can put him in a centre half and just be like, right, Connor, stick to your position, win your headers, you know, keep tracking your man and stuff like that. But when he gets in that final third, there was times as well where he was like trying to take a touch and then like move, and he just didn't look comfortable doing it. Whereas for any faults 09 has, he does have quite a tidy first touch.
Yeah.
He gets a pass off quickly. He gets moving. He pulls defenders about it. It doesn't half make you notice the difference there as well. And maybe, to be fair, maybe that blunted our attack a little bit, didn't it, Mick?
Yeah, it did. I mean, the point I made before when we were trying them kind of like long balls over the top to try and like, McLaughlin's not one who's going to take it into his stride and take on a fullback or put the crossing straight away. Like you say, his instinct is to get the ball and keep it neat and tidy. So I think McLaughlin, fair enough, he might not be the best fullback in the world. He's fine playing right back in the back four, arguably. He's fine playing as a right centre half. But like you say, he's never a wing back in a million years. And I think that maybe that's another point to bring up, that sometimes we do need to have a bit more tactical flexibility, and sometimes you don't have to play five at the back and you've got to switch it up.
Yeah, well, I sorry, Matthew.
No, just this goes back. Like, Jack Ross did this when we signed McLaughlin, and we didn't have the players to play five at the back, and he wanted to do it, and it didn't work because McLaughlin isn't a right wing back. He'd be like asking Yap Stam to play right wing back, but obviously, obviously better than him.
And it was obvious that they were targeting early in the game as well. Our right-hand side, obviously, Sanderson started on that side of the back three. So him and him, a debut of him, quite a young player, and with McLaughlin there as well, they were pumping all of their early balls down to that side. And what, Sanderson looked a bit shaky to start with, didn't look ideal for the goal, but I'm not sure if that was maybe Dobson getting in his way or not. But I thought actually Sanderson grew into the game as it went, made some nice marauding runs, got forward a little bit, helped with us carrying the ball out and pushing them back a bit further, and was quite tidy in a few like tackles and interceptions, wasn't he?
He was. I think, again, though, it just shows it was a mistake to play McLaughlin in the position he did, because Sanderson said he's more than comfortable of playing like as a wing-back. So I think it might have actually took the heat off him a little bit if he's not on his debut for the club playing as like a centre-half, and McLaughlin's played as a right centre-half already this season. So it brings you a little bit more continuity, I think, if you play him there. And like you commented, he actually looked quite good on the ball, quite brave on the ball, Sanderson. And so some of his little touches going forward reminded me slightly of Willis. So I think if you'd played Sanderson there, we would have had a little bit more success. But I don't want to just keep on kind of like hammering the fact that we played the 3-5-2. Like I said, I think what was really concerning the other night was that we didn't play to our strength. So last season, I know it's a little bit different when Rochdale's at home, but when they came to stage my like last season, we pressed them really high up the pitch, and even though they aren't a bad side on the ball, they kept giving it away, and we were 3-0 up at half time through the mistakes that we forced by pressing them so high up the pitch.
Yeah, but the pressing was really weird on Tuesday. We did it at the start of the second half, yeah, and they were struggling to get out. Then we stopped again, and then we started again on about 60, 65 minutes. Like, no, just keep pressing them. You are, you know, that front three of White, Gooch and Maguire are very good at pressing. They're very good at the tenacious side of things, but we just kept doing it in, and I know it's hard to sustain that because, you know, you're doing high intensity running essentially, but they are good at that, and we just seem to not be able to make our mind up on how much we wanted to press them almost.
I think, again, it's one of them things, it's one of our biggest strengths, isn't it, particularly under Parkinson, our like the pressing style of play. So I don't understand why we didn't do it more. I mean, like you say, it's not realistic to expect it for 90 minutes every game. But it was just the fact in the first half it was non-existent, and that allowed Rochdale to kind of play the way into the game, because I think we took the lead, arguably, against a run of play.
And definitely.
And I just think that, I know it sounds a little bit arrogant, but like, you've got to be in this league. You've got to go to Rochdale and say, right, you're not going to play neat and tidy football. You're not going to play it out from the back. We're going to like press you really high up the pitch, and we're going to like kind of play with a little bit of swagger. But I think on Tuesday night, it really concerned me a lot more than the Portsmouth game, because it's okay sometimes to get beat by a better side. But on Tuesday, I just think we unnecessarily just surrendered control of the game to Rochdale. And I just think, even though second half we saw more of a ball and we had a lot more joy, I just think the overall performance the other night was just like lackluster and just...
Yeah, it was. And that's what makes it interesting what Parkinson said after the game as well. Because a lot's been made of this. And I know actually he has kind of repeated the sort of the positives of things today in his press conference. But are people reading into this very much? Because I just see it with his post-match comments saying, you know, we were really good in the second half. He even said Dobson didn't play too badly, and he's kind of reaffirmed some of that today, saying it was a good point on the road. People are like laying in that bit and saying, oh, he's just accepting mediocrity, blah, blah, blah. But for me, I think that's more a case of, you know, you can't read too much into what managers say in the media. You don't know what he's saying to them in the dressing room after. He could be giving them a massive bollocking. And, you know, the players themselves will know that that wasn't good enough. Even, you know, players like Wyke, who had a fairly decent game, they'll know that wasn't good enough on the night. They know that that result isn't good enough. But it's not. I don't think it's going to do any good if Parkinson comes out in the media after and says, yeah, that was terrible, they're all crap. Like, that's Paolo Di Canio stuff, that. And look, you know, look where he is now. You've got to remember, we started the season quite well, and the dressing room probably has a bit of positivity to it right now. If you come out in the media slagging off all the players, you're potentially undoing all that. Now, yes, if you lose 5 on the bounce, that is probably when you come out and you be a bit more straight with things. But I don't know, Matthew, I think people are making a bit too much, potentially, of his comments.
I don't know what... I get it. I do get why people are, you know, pissed off at what he said, but he won't think that. He won't think that it was good enough, and he won't think that George Dobson played well. What do you want him to do? He comes out after the game and starts slagging, throwing the players under a bus, and we got two big games coming up. It's not the sort of thing to do to get a reaction out of them publicly, to, you know, just come out and, you know, say how bad they were. And he'll not be happy, and they'll know that. And I don't know, I get why people would want him to come out, and you can't publicly come out and call the players out 7 games into a season.
Yeah.
Unless you've lost all 7. Unless you're Frank De Boer.
I think you need some kind of happy medium, though, because I think a lot of people do see Partington's appointment, and that's not his fault again, but people kind of see it as kind of like the league unification of Sunderland. And when you come out and you kind of like praise the display and all that, it kind of harks back to, yeah, ironically, when we played Gillingham last year, oh, we gave it a real good go and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit, I don't understand
the frustration. I do want to make that point. I do understand why people are frustrated and, you know, heat of the moment, they want that reaction. I'm not like sort of having a dig at people for like being pissed off.
And I also want to say, I don't think it's a good look to throw players under the bus. I don't think that individually he should have come out, because for instance, if he came out and hammered George Dobson's performance, I'd have been cross at Parkinson, because that's not the way you deal with players in public. But
yeah,
what I would have liked to have seen is kind of saying, oh, we've had a chat with the lads, we've all kind of like agreed that that's not good enough, our like performances haven't been up to scratch in the last couple of games, but we've had a really good start, we can't detract from that, and we're going to go again. I know it's all cliche, but we're going to go again on Saturday against Gillingham and we're going to put it right. I think I'd have quite liked that approach rather than the extreme positivity.
Totally, yeah.
Because I think...
Yeah, absolutely. Acknowledge it, but say what you're going to do. Yeah, that is a fair shout. But, you know, we mentioned Charlie Wyke there as well, you know, before we go to the break. That's another positive, another goal for him. And I think on the night, our man of the match, he was, you know, he almost scored again with a good header that went, well, didn't go wide, ended up coming back to Denver Hume, who should have just whacked his... I don't know what he was doing with that shot. A little aside on that, Lyndon Gooch seemed to be really... I know the angle might be deceiving us, but does anyone think that Gooch could have maybe stretched and got that? Like, I've watched the back a couple of times and thought, he looks really close to that, and he's just gone, nah. Obviously, that's not the case, but just the angle of it looks really weird. Am I just the only one who's noticed?
I've not noticed, to be honest. But now you say it, I can picture Gooch being there. I can't quite picture how close he was. Maybe he just didn't want to.
Maybe he thought, oh, Denver's there, I'll tee him off.
Is this Rory's Paolo Di Canio moment where he throws Jay under the bus about retracting his head?
Yes, it is. He backed out with a headache. Yeah, exactly. But no, another really good performance from Charlie Wyke. And, you know, we've been, even when we were playing well, we were saying we need to get one of our strikers with a bit of momentum. And Wyke has that at the moment. So, you know, it's really frustrating that we finally... I know we scored two when we won against Swindon, but we finally get a couple of goals and then the defence just absolutely falls apart. But yeah, a positive there. And I think in general, you know, Max Power hits the bar. Maybe if that header goes in from Wyke, or if when it came back to Danny Graham off when Power hits the bar and Graham potentially should...
He should have done better. It was a strange swap, that.
Yeah,
to just
exactly.
bring Graham on for Wyke. Yeah, like, when Wyke was like the in the game, like, either the substitutes were just nothing, though. Like, there's nothing really to go. Like, I don't think there's a huge amount to go over them, really.
Yeah,
that was a nothing substitution. Ledbetter came on with like a minute ago in his thousands, and Scowen for Maguire was just strange. Yeah. But sort of worked, like, by accident, almost, because Scowen did all right.
Yeah, Scowen did do well, but I think there was the opportunity to maybe firm up the midfield, or, you know, get Will Grigg on if Wyke's playing well. Is that not going to, like, rub off on him? Yeah, you know, Wyke was maybe knackered, to be fair.
Yeah, he's not the most mobile, is he? So.
No, he's not. He's not. Bless him. But, you know, on those chances, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, how, like, much, to use the word narrative, but if Power Shot goes in, if Graham's header goes in, whatever... You're coming away from that and thinking, well, we've not played well tonight, but we've reacted to conceding those two goals and we've managed to come away with a win. And it is really fine margins. And yes, we should be blowing away teams like Rochdale. I'm not saying that, you know, narrow wins like that are totally acceptable or giving away those goals. But you are very close to coming away from that and saying, well, you know, when you get promoted, you need those awkward wins, those scrappy ones. And that shows the character in the side. And I think for as much... as we need like a 3-0, 4-0. I do think we need one of them where we come back in a game. And I think the lads said this even on Monday, like, you don't want to go a goal behind, but seeing that the side's got that in them is the mark of a promotion side. We nearly did have that on Tuesday. And you know, maybe that's... I'm not being like totally happy about it.
I think Tuesday as well is a game where you really missed like the away support there. Like,
yes,
whether they were really, like, they're tiring with 15, 20 minutes to go. Like, if you've got, I know it was midweek, but if you've got, I don't know, 2,500 fans there behind the goal, one of them on the pitch.
Mickey knows all about that at Rochdale.
One of them on the pitch. Some people are on the pitch. Oh, it's Mick. If you've got like the away end, you know, roaring them on, every corner's like an event.
I think
that makes a difference there. So left fans in.
Well, on that political statement from Matthew Keelan on behalf of the Wise Men Say Party, we'll go to a little break. And when we come back, we'll look ahead to Gillingham.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Kevin Kyle, and you're listening to the Wise Men Say podcast.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. Before we look ahead at Gillingham, just a reminder to go to fromtheterraces.co.uk and use that discount code WMS10 to get yourself 10% off your basket for your order. It's been raining today, so get one of the lovely Lambton jackets. I think the overshirts are in production now, so they'll look good when you know, you want to do the northeast thing, don't you, of when you can go for a socially distant trip to the pub of not wearing like a big coat. So you're going to want to put your overshirt on instead, aren't you? Because they still look a bit, even though, you know, there's a pandemic, you still want to look a bit hard, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, why not? I mean, overshirt's perfect.
You two would know all about that.
You're right.
You know, the Cray twins, eh?
It's not like we've ever nearly got threatened with getting our heads kicked in and hid behind you.
Yeah. Well, we could have looked stylish hiding behind you and our From the Terraces overshirts. No, overshirts are a great look in any weather, and arguably perfect for those, you know, 14, 15 degrees cloudy Saturdays when you're going to the pub to bump in the event.
Yes, please. Even
if you've got no interest in looking hard, you need a new winter wardrobe anyway, because summer's very much behind us, you know, like autumn's even like kind of going out the window. So, yeah, get it sorted.
Absolutely.
Autumn never really happened. Like, it just sort of was a non-event.
Autumn in this country, like you get some nice coloured leaves for like a week.
Aye. And then it's foggy. And then, like, I was riding to work the other day and it was like 8 degrees. And then, like, last Tuesday it was like 17 degrees. It's like, well, no. So,
gotta love that climate change.
Aye, climate change, aye.
I melt. But while the polar ice caps melt, you can look good while they're doing it. Aye. And you can get 10% off when you go to fromtheterraces.co.uk.
T-shirts for the polar bears.
Well, you would have thought. Well, I hope the polar bears are listening to this and they can use the discount code WMS10.
Armbands for them.
10% off their basket. And if they've got internet access, then also listen to the From the Terraces podcast as well. And that you can follow that at Terraces Podcast. Subscribe on all your favourite podcast apps. Gillingham away, lads.
I hate Gillingham.
The sight of a sad day. Well, I don't know, sad. It was kind of funny at Gillingham last year, but I was very much a lad that day and got quite drunk, so I can't particularly remember the game.
I'm sure I was done with you second half as well, wasn't I?
You were, Mickey, yeah. Tom Walsh, of course, he was there, a fellow Wise Men Say member. And yeah, had quite a nice time, apart from the result. Got a stand on that daft away end, that daft uncovered away end, which unfortunately we can't go to weekend.
When does a temporary stand become permanent? Because that's been a temporary stand for about 25 years.
What's a great stat about that? Is that temporary stand is older than MK Dons?
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
That stand was in place when Gabriel Clark was presenting Football Extra.
I think that temporary stand was in place when Mark Stewart scored a hat-trick against Gillingham.
Yeah,
was it?
Nyrén Nosworthy playing for Gillingham if that day as well.
Behind it on some old photos of the Anglo-Saxons, Gillingham's temporary stand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it like an old, I don't know, like an old fort in Kent?
Yeah.
Kent, Gillingham,
well,
Kent.
The Romans renamed it, didn't they? Temporarius,
yeah. Temporarius, that was excellent.
Another great moment from Gillingham last season, Rory, was can you remember when White scored that disallowed goal?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It was kind of one of them, because it wasn't, the flag never went straight up. We'd already kind of had time to guard mental. And then,
you'd calm down again, hadn't you?
Calm down, Lid.
Then the flag had gone up, but the lads who were like just watching the game like on the stream, their stream was a couple of minutes behind. So we were getting all the Charlie White messages in the group chat, like when we already knew the goal had been disallowed and being used. Like, give it a minute, lads, give it a minute.
For fuck's sake. Really, oh, yeah.
I remember watching it in a pub that won't be named. And I remember, like, well, not gone mental in the pub, like, but you know,
relatively speaking,
pissed off and disallowed a
few.
No reason, really. I think 09 was offside anyway.
Yeah, it was very strange.
He fouled the goalkeeper for no reason, just classic 09.
Just got too excited and leapt on him.
Oh my god,
maybe he'd been like watching clips of Roy O'Donovan, you know, wanted to follow in the footsteps of another Sunderland legend. That's a really under. We're going off a big tangent here, but I don't really care.
I don't really want to talk about Gillingham. So.
And we've just been talking about drawing 2-2 with Rochdale, but it's not spoken about very much, even by Sunderland fans, about Roy O'Donovan sitting on a goalkeeper. It's like Ruud Gullit sitting on a shed, like watching things the advent calendar today. It's Roy O'Donovan sitting on a goalkeeper.
To allow Stern John to nod it in at the back stick.
Yeah, exactly. So, and like, it should be, it's such a good daft cult like moment, I think. Like, it's such a weird thing to do. Like, Stern John probably would have scored anyway, but he just wanted to like make sure.
It's like, how did it not get disallowed?
It's not allowed, Roy.
Not an OVR.
It's not allowed. No VAR, no. I mean, imagine, well, you can't have the goal disallowed now because like your nose is offside.
Yeah, well, not in the Champions League last night.
No, that was refreshing.
Not something we're going to have to worry about.
Obviously, the town of Alston won't know that either. So.
have they got VAR in the Papa John's trophy?
I don't know. I hope so. Imagine if they have.
That would be so good. I don't know. Papa John's got quite a bit of money, I think. Yeah. All them pizzas. Yeah. You would have thought.
Well, you would think.
Well, here's something that'll either inspire you for our game against Gillingham, or it'll absolutely terrify you going in this game with Gillingham. Because the Gills, have lost their last four in the league and haven't scored in any of those games. So does that make you think, well, here we go. We're going to rock up into town, Big Phil and Billy Big Bollocks FC, and just turn them over? Or is this when Sleepy Steve Evans the boys get things back on track?
Has he been asleep for four games?
Yeah, maybe he has.
Steve, we haven't scored.
Sorry.
Just nodded off there, Dan.
Nodded off there. Reference to, you know, regular listeners. Should be listening every week, so if you don't get that, that's terrible. But actually, they did start the season quite well. They won three out of their first five, they won three, and I think drew one, lost one. So they made a really solid start, and they've gone off a cliff. Before we started recording, though, Mick, you said they've got like quite a few injury problems at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked into it in any great detail, but just reading Steve Evans' quotes, I know.
Why not?
We expect great detail, mate, on the Thursday pod. Do you not hear me reeling off all those stats about Gillingham's start that are probably wrong?
I know Steve Evans does like to exaggerate things and make out that he's managing like the smallest, pluckiest club in the world every game. But he has come out and said that they do have like a lot of injuries, and they're kind of, as Steve Bruce would say, down to were bare bones. And that was a terrible Steve Bruce, so I apologise.
I quite liked it. You got like when he's trying to do his little posh voice in there quite well.
But what stood out for me is the fact that they've only got like two goalkeepers in the first team squad, and one of them's an 18-year-old who until Tuesday night had never made a league appearance, and he had to come off the bench, and I think he'll have to start tomorrow. So obviously that's a very big pressure game for him, so hopefully
it is,
we'll,
if he's starting tomorrow.
On Saturday, do you, mate?
Hey, well, to be fair, most people listen to this probably on a Friday.
Wait, at this present moment in time, right?
What? You need to tell them it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. turn up like, oh no, 17-0.
Oh, 0-0.
We only won 17-0.
No goal. Well, no, he'll be there, won't he? He'll turn up at like 5-3, and there'll be a goal kick waiting for him.
Because if I came on here and got everything like correct, then that would be a failing on my behalf, and I'm trying to get a regular spot on this sort of Thursday slot, so I've got many mistakes.
Very good for your trial there. Well, injury front for us, it sounds like Willis might still be a doubt in that they're assessing things. So I guess that gives us some questions about what we do defensively. Obviously, Luke O'Nine's going to come back in. So does anyone think we should be making a change from the back three? Do we go to back four or nine potentially going to midfield? There's a bit of scope there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be against that personally. I think the five at the back has its merits. But I think, I don't know, we could probably do without, especially if like the defenders are going to have sort of calamitous performances. You'd almost rather have one less.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind 09 having a go in midfield. I think he's a real threat on the right-hand side. It means you can play someone in just a flat back four. So he's been a real threat from wing-back. It would be interesting to see if he can remember how to play in midfield, like.
because you could play Sanderson as your right back, and then
or C-Mac,
of course. Well, in a flat back four, maybe.
Flat back, yeah.
But if you know, Ledbetter is obviously going to. Well, Ledbetter should be coming back into the side. If he's slotting in there when maybe you don't have the ball and you're defending your final third. But I just don't think we play that fluidly, unfortunately. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, to go back to the Sam Allardyce days when Jan and Villa would drop in for DeAndre Yedlin or for Patrick Van Aanholt because someone on that side would go forward or Kirchhoff would slot in. We do seem to stick to position a little bit more, don't we, Mickey? So, I don't know. I think even if he does go to a back four, he won't... I think he would probably go with McLaughlin there rather than Sanderson, even though Matthew's delighted about that. But I think I would rather see Sanderson there, and it gives us a chance to be a little bit more fluid within the midfield. And Sanderson looked all right going forward, contributing as well, and maybe gives Wyke a bit more support behind him for when Gooch and Maguire go inside or Knight can peel off. I don't know, Mickey, what do you think formation-wise? Would you ring the changes?
So what you're saying is hashtag justice for Conor Mac. Before we go any further, I'm not saying that.
Matthew's saying
I am saying that. Yeah.
No, I mean, to be fair, I don't have any objection to the back five whatsoever, and I just think it would be absolute. It'd be fine if we brought Ledbetter and Scowen back into the centre midfield. I would have no objection to it. What is Flanagan fit, by the way?
I've not seen any, unless I've missed it or if something's came out and we've been recording, I've not seen anything about Flanagan on the official club Twitter. The only player that specifically mentioned on the injury front was Jordan Willis. And the fact that Sanderson took a bit of a, well, you know, remembering the Rochdale game that he got a bit of a knock, didn't he? But carried on, and Willis has got his ongoing issue as well that they're sort of managing at the moment. But given that Willis on the bench, I don't think it'd be too serious. But no, nothing mentioned specifically about Flanagan that I've seen.
So on that basis then, I think you just got to try and keep it as simple as possible. O-9 goes back to the fullback. I take your point that his energy would be welcome in midfield, but you've got to remember he's not played there for well over a year now.
That's true.
So I just think you've got to kind of keep it like as simple as you possibly can, not make too many elaborate changes, and just stick to what's been working. And when we've been playing 09 as a wing back, the fight at the back has been working really well. If Flanagan's coming back in alongside Bailey Wright, regardless of whether Sanderson or Willis gets a nod, I'd be perfectly comfortable with that back with the three centre defenders. And if we have Scowen and Ledbetter back as your midfield too, I think we're going to have a lot more control of the game, because I was hearing something earlier from a Gillingham fan on the podcast, and he was saying that Gillingham tend to have a very low amount of possession, so if we want to go there and assert our control, then I'd much rather have Scowen and Ledbetter, who are tidier in possession.
Yeah. So
for me, keep it the five at the back, get Ledbetter and Scowen back in, because that's been working really well throughout the season. So yep, I just think keep it as simple as possible, because we've still got to back ourselves to go and turn Gillingham over comfortably despite a couple of bad results.
Definitely. And I think, you know, if you're getting those better players back in, like Ledbetter, like 09, goes back to what I said earlier, your team, those better players in, means you are going to be on top of doing the basics better. And when we do that, teams get less opportunity. And we don't force things as much as well. That would be my main worry if Gillingham are going to give us a lot of possession and put like a lot of men behind the ball. Because we saw it against Rochdale at times that we were just trying to, you know, force things a bit too much and just pump balls a little bit. But if we have those better players on, especially like Ledbetter, who's really good at keeping calm in those kind of situations, then we won't do that. But, you know, if he goes, I think it's just all about getting three men in midfield again. Even if he ditches the back five, he would have to keep us to a 4-3-3, and just, it keeps that control for us, doesn't it, Matt? It keeps us squeezing teams, which is really important.
Yeah, well, we touched on it before, didn't we, when we said if teams are going to play two in the middle against our three, then great, because we just got control of the game. Turned out we didn't. But anyway,
they
did not have control. No, I just think you are right, though. Like, we need that in midfield. You get a lot of time on the ball in this league as well. And if we're going to have the possession, if you've got three in the middle, if we do lose the ball, that's one thing we've been good at, actually, is regaining possession this season.
Yeah.
I think having three in the middle, any mistakes are nullified by the extra cover. And going forward as well, it gives you an extra outlet. Someone, especially if you've got like Power, who's, you know, he saw it the other night, and I was a two, like with a volley, like getting on the edge of the box, and you let us see more of that from him. Actually, I know he sometimes is the one that holds, but I'd like to see more of it from him. He's more than capable of doing it. He scored a few goals, and it always seems to be like he sort of waits 20 minutes to go and thinks, oh god, like we need a goal, I best get forward and try and. He did it against Bristol Rovers, didn't he, and hit the post?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I just think we need to see more of it from him. More than, it's well within his, you know, his ability to do that, and he's good at it. I don't know if it's an instruction or if it's a confidence thing, but all right, Max.
Yeah, how are Max?
Yeah, sorry, when I said them about Scorn and Ledbetter being a midfield two, I didn't mean like kind of as a two by themselves.
You made your bed now. Stop rolling back on us. Make some outlandish predictions.
Backtracking for me.
Midfield one.
None for me. No goalkeeper.
Five, six with no goalkeeper. Zero. Well, you don't count the goalkeeper in your formation, do you? But 5-0-6.
Yeah, agree.
Get Benji in.
Well,
you know, why not on the bench?
Yeah,
you would have thought.
Wait, no, crap.
Well, I guess that brings us neatly on to prediction time. Matthew, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you till last this week.
Oh yeah,
Mickey. What? How do you? Hopefully, obviously, those better quality players are going to come back in. But how do you see the game going overall?
I'm going to say something outrageous. I'm going to say we're going to catch Steve Evans napping, ironically, and we're going to win 4-0.
Wow, 4-0. Charlie White, Catrick, anything like that?
Right, set it down.
No. Hey, yeah, he's on fire at the minute.
No, I think Charlie White double, Danny J off the bench, and we're going to have a Max Power breaker as well.
Oh, I do like a bit of that. That is tasty. I think I'm going to... I don't know. I think this is... We've struggled. We haven't beat Gillingham, actually, since we came down, have we? Despite, obviously, playing them thousands of times because of the FA Cup.
We beat them 4-2, I think.
Sorry, we beat them at home. We've not beat them.
We did the double in our first season.
We tonked them maybe early on. I forgot about that.
Getting cancelled, though.
I think those FA Cup games, and then, like, obviously, we played them in the league just, like, a couple of months after with that 2-2, the last time we'll ever see live football. I think that's just clouded us. But, yeah, of course, we, like, hammered them. Oh, right, we're getting back to that, then. I'm going to be slightly less optimistic than Mickey, and I'm going to say a 3-0 win, and I'm going to... Do you know what? I fancy Bailey Wright again. I know the keeper, like, was a bit of a knacker, but I thought he got on the end of that header quite well, and let's have a brace for Charles there as well. He's gonna keep up his fire form. Now, Matthew, your prediction's really, really, really important this week because regular listeners will know that we've not addressed the elephant in the room here, have we?
No.
And that's that we drop points on Tuesday.
We
dropped
points, and I was reminded of this on Twitter by... can't remember the username, Eleanor, I believe. And I was reminded that I'd made this prediction, and we needed a caveat. So she did help come up with this.
All right, okay.
And George Dobson's performance on Tuesday can in no way be counted as us having 11 men on the pitch.
Oh, my God.
So absolutely, it still stands that we will not drop any more points while we have 11 competent footballers on the pitch.
Okay. Hmm. I mean, that's like leaving it open to too much interpretation there, I think.
Right, we'll right, fine, but when Dobson doesn't play, then...
And Dobson doesn't play, all right, okay. But what happens then if Dobson does play and we do win?
Well, it doesn't matter.
That kind of... it doesn't matter.
Two victories up.
That's two victories.
Yeah, we get 6 points. Yeah. The other team gets automatically relegated.
So the caveat now is we will not drop any more points, provided we have 11 men on the pitch,
yeah.
Brackets, 11 competent footballers, asterisks, specifically meaning George Dobson not playing.
Specifically the West Midlands, yes.
The West Midlands. Well, he did play in the West Midlands.
Yeah, sorry, George.
I just want to make sure, is that right?
No, that's
that
right. That's right for now.
Okay, we'll be lovely.
Update. But it's like the government's strategy for coronavirus, this.
It really is.
I'm just making further adjustments to it at no notice, darling.
10 o'clock at night on Twitter.
I'm just going to tweet it out at 1:05 in the morning.
What's your score prediction?
5-1 to Sunderland.
Is George Dobson going to score?
Dobson with 2, I think.
Conor Mac?
Well, you've kind of shattered the hopes of him playing, haven't we?
Oh, sorry, Conor.
No, so I'm going for Max as well, but I'm going for 2 for Max, opener and closer.
Oh, lovely.
A Leadbitter penalty.
Oh, midfielders scoring all over the shop.
Charlie Wyke and Will Grigg.
Oh, lovely.
Own goal from him and Danny Graham.
Oh, that's a shame. Oh, what a somber note to go out on. An own goal for sad lad Will.
If that happens. I just feel so sorry for him.
I really would just want to give him a cuddle if that happens.
I
wouldn't even feel like upset or angry, even if it was like a last minute own goal to lose us a game. I'd just,
it was 5-0 as well, and it was just a meaningless own goal. It was just like,
come here, Will, come here. Well, is Will Grigg going to score an own goal? Is George Dobson going to play and score a brace? Will we have to add more caveats to Matthew's prediction of us not dropping any more points? We'll be back on Saturday to react to that and fill you in on all those details. And then Gareth and Stephen will be back on Monday to look in this latest game a little bit more detail and preview another midweek game against Ipswich. So make sure you all subscribe to Wise Men Say and all your favourite podcast apps if you're not already, because 3 shows a week, we're delivering the content. You know, even though there's a pandemic, we're still bringing you your podcast.
More regular than Coronation Street, this.
Well, agree. How often's Coronation Street on?
I don't watch it anymore. I haven't watched it since Phelan left.
It was not always like Mondays, Wednesdays. Like two on Mondays.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, Friday, yeah. Sometimes you get 2 on a Friday if there'd been like some murdering going on.
Which obviously was peak feeling hours, real feeling hours.
I'm just murdering some residents of Weatherfield, darling.
Well, hopefully we're going to be doing all the murdering on the pitch at Priestfield this Saturday. Hopefully we're getting back to winning ways. And as ever, thanks for listening.
Gary's birthday on Sunday.
I know, exciting.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.